Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and enjoy the daily astrology, human design, whatever else it is that we feel like we want to talk about this morning. I hope everybody's doing well. I see a couple of people out there, so welcome. And can you believe it? It's the last Friday of 2018. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. The year has gone by in a flash, and we are looking at moving into 2019. Just wow. It's been an interesting year, I'm sure, for everybody. While Jupiter had been in Scorpio, there were lots of lessons to be learned, lots of issues that we were healing through. And now, with Jupiter off into Sagittarius, we have the hope, the audacity of hope even, of moving forward with optimism and in making some huge strides in our world and indeed in our personal lives. In fact, I'm betting that people this morning are already feeling the energy revving up, right? Like you want to get going. You're tired of pussyfooting around, if you will. You're tired of waiting. You just want things to happen. I'm going to urge caution, because it's not quite the time yet. I mean, obviously, we're going into a holiday weekend, and the last thing that we need to do is make big changes today or tomorrow. It's best to wait until we actually get beyond New Year's Eve. So New Year's Day, you have my blessings. If you want to take off and run with the ball, please do. But up until that point in time, I'm going to urge caution, right? A little bit of caution, just a little bit longer. And that's because Mars is in the last few days of its transit through the sign of Pisces. Mars is a planet that's made of fire. It's a fire energy. And you put fire in water and you get a bunch of steam. Now, if you can harness the steam and make it work for you, then great. But most times, without a lot of effort, steam isn't going to work for you. It has to be under pressure. It has to be focused. Some of you may have been able to use that energy to your advantage. But for most of us, unfortunately, we have not been able to harness that energy. And it's really more frustrating than anything to try to make things happen in a time where it's not really indicated that, you know, that would be successful. But New Year's Eve, Monday, that all changes as Mars moves out of the sign of Pisces and into the sign of Aries, the sign it rules. So now we'll have a fire planet in a fire sign, and we'll be able to see our way forward. So why don't we take the last couple of days here then of 2018 and go inward and take a look at what it is that you really want to accomplish in 2019. And we do that by looking backwards first, right? January, I'm sorry, I've managed to come up with a cold. And now that I'm talking, my throat is going to start getting dry. The god of January, if you will, is the god Janus, who is a two-headed god, one head facing forward and the other facing backwards. So this is a great time for us to kind of do that look, looking backwards into 2018. What did you learn? What did you not get accomplished? What did you accomplish? And then a little bit of looking ahead, what does it look like for 2019? Where do you want to go? What do you see that you want to accomplish? What do you want to change? But without necessarily taking the steps yet to do that. So we have this bridge right now that we're on as far as being able to see ahead and see behind and to be able to come back into the now and make, you know, some conscious decisions about what we're going to do. My worry for everybody is that on December 31st, when Mars, you know, lightens up and begins this move of action, that we're going to take, you know, steps. We're just going to jump, right? We're going to just leap and do things. And I want you to do things, but I want you to do them deliberately with a plan and with an idea toward taking what you've learned in 2018 and applying it to 2019. So let's see who I have out here this morning. Good morning, Suzanne. Good morning, Mimi. Oh, she's in the gallery today. That's always sounding so exotic to be in the gallery. Good morning, Terry, my husband. Debbie, good morning to you. Vanita, good morning to you. Lynn, good morning. She now have my coffee. in my correct cup this time, my grandma cup, with my little Y guy, little Wyatt, and Bailey and Kendra, who are also sort of step-grandchildren. All right, so let's take a look at what's coming up this weekend. Good morning, Kathy, Debbie, Vicky, good morning. Debbie says she's just resting after being sick for... I missed her comment. Where did it go? After being sick since November 1st, I got the flu right before Christmas, so I'm just chilling. Good for you, Debbie. It's a good thing to chill. Yesterday, you were my example chart during the webinar to talk to people about how to use their 12-month astrology report. And I knew that you wouldn't mind if I pulled your report up and used it. So people had an insight through a little bit of looking at your chart. So thank you for letting me do that, even though you weren't there. I did record last night's webinar, so I will be able to get that to the people who attended the 2019 astrology webinar who got their 12-month report and need to know how to use it. So good morning, Colleen. And Vicky, it's good to see you. Haven't seen you in the last couple of days. Shauna, good morning. Suzanne, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's take a look, you know, at the end of the month, the end of the year, and see what we can expect going into this weekend. Today we have the moon in Virgo. It is in the last few degrees of Virgo. When I pulled the chart this morning, it was at 26 degrees 59 minutes of Virgo, meaning it was right at about 27 degrees, which puts it in an exact opposition to the planet Mars, which is sitting at 27 degrees of Pisces. So it was a good time then for me to focus on what is it that Mars is going to be bringing to us, because the moon is triggering it right now. The moon in Virgo is really kind of telling us to pare things down, take a look at the forest, take a look at the trees, and how can we bring the picture together? At 8:27 this morning, so literally here in just about 15 minutes, the moon will move into void, of course, and it will stay that way from 8:27, this is West Coast time, until 12:24 p.m. West Coast time. So it's at 11:27 a.m. to about 3:24 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. It is a Friday to just play, right? It's the last day of work, maybe before the holiday weekend, or the weekend and the holiday. So, you know, with a void of course moon for you guys on the East Coast, it's going to happen right in the middle of your work day. So go home early if you can, right? Settle down into your weekend as early as you can do it. Because you're not going to get anything done at work anyway, right? So party or play, but not necessarily a day for us to do a lot of work in any sort of way. So, and for those of us on the West Coast, it is really just the early part of the day. By afternoon, things will clear up and you'll be able to do some more stuff. That means the moon then will be in Libra, and it will be all about bringing harmony and balance and fairness and justice and all those wonderful things, diplomacy, tact, into our lives, letting go of codependence. The moon might spotlight that for us, where emotionally we are codependent, and where we need to look for interdependence. And it is usually a good time when the moon is in Libra. It focuses on our relationships, our emotional connections to one another. And the moon is in Libra from the latter part of the day today all the way through Saturday and most of the day on Sunday. So we have really what amounts to a beautiful weekend relationship-wise, as long as things are not out of harmony. If you are like me and have Libras in your life, you are always ever watchful for them getting out of balance, because it doesn't take much for sometimes for Libras to get out of balance, and then they go down into the dark hole, or they go soaring to the heights, waiting for that time when things can come back into balance and harmony for them. Late in the weekend, the moon will finish its transit through Libra and move out into Scorpio, and we begin the new year and the new week with the moon in Scorpio. And I've been th- I thought about that this morning, and I was wondering, like, what does that mean for us going into 2019 to have the moon begin its transit of the year in Scorpio? And I'm not sure, I haven't come to that conclusion yet, but I do know that the moon in Scorpio is highly intuitive. It is very deep feeling, and there may be deep waters that we're dealing with in 2019. And I think we've already discovered that as we talked about what was coming up for 2019, some of the transits that are going on. Scorpio is often a sign of secrets, and there are other transits happening that seem to suggest that secrets will be revealed throughout the year, where transparency and ethics get returned to the forefront. And that does not bode well for anybody who's been holding on to secrets or who has been saying one thing and doing another. So it could be the start of a very interesting year. So what else is happening today? Then we also have the moon in Virgo opposing Mars, which we were talking about, but Mars is also in a conjunction to Chiron. Chiron is sitting at 28 degrees, 4 seconds. Actually, that's the exact degree of my sun. So Pisces and Mars, 27 degrees, 41 minutes of Pisces. So they are literally just climbing on top of one another right now. This is about taking action on healing. So whatever it is that has been a burden that has kept you down in this year, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, it is a time to begin to take action on, not even to begin to take action, but to really see the healing path forward. Chiron, you know, is the wounded healer. And in Pisces, we have talked a lot about the fact that he's bringing up to us victim energy and the idea of the victim mind, and where it is that we have a tendency to blame others, blame the universe or God, blame our upbringing, blame our childhood, blame our spouses, our jobs, our you know what, anything. Instead of taking responsibility for how it is that we are showing up in our world. And we're in the last, you know, couple of degrees of experiencing this energy. So it's really calling attention to all things blame, all things victim. And I was kind of chuckling because it's almost like our president here in the US anyway, is just like every moment tweeting something new where he's the victim, or blaming someone else for the problems of the country. And I just find it interesting to see that in our outer world, when it's something we are also meant to be dealing with Mars conjuncting Chiron. I think everybody's got the message now, right? Hopefully you have all gotten the message that you're responsible for your own self. Response able. And the only way that we can be response able is to let go of victim mind and to let go of blame, because there isn't anybody else to blame. It is your life. It is your choices. It is you living your life that is what you have control of. You're never the victim of somebody else's circumstances. So learning this has been a huge lesson for us, and we are at the end of this lesson. We will not learn this lesson again for another 50 years. I mean, in some ways, it may show up in our world, but you know, the Chiron transit through Pisces for the last 7 years has really been bringing this home to us, showing us exactly where we've been out of sync with our own world, with our own path forward. And the thing that I also find interesting about this is that in human design, if we shift over to human design, both Mars and Chiron then are sitting at the gate 25, which is the gate of universal love. It is a gate that is sitting on the diamond. I'll show you, because I did keep that chart. Let me show you here. I'm going to move my coffee before I dump it in my keyboard. So here is a human design chart. Here is the white diamond. In this case, it's white. In your case, it might be yellow. Depends on whether you have it defined or not. Here's the gate 25, and it sits at the opposite end of the gate of shock, gate 51. So often there's something shocking that happens, but it is pushing us to become one again, to heal separateness, to come back to universal love. It is the most powerful of the love gates, in that it is the love glue, if you will, that holds the universe together. Mars and Chiron there says we return to love, we return to universal love, we apply loving principles, and it pulls us immediately out of being victims of anything. Let's see what people are saying here this morning. Really quickly, somebody just said they were leaving. I think it was you, Kathy. Have a great day, sweetheart. Love seeing you out here. Debbie says, along with the Donald and everyone in DC. I'm not sure what that means, Debbie. You might have to give us the segue to that, what you meant. Cornelia, good morning. Excellent topic. There are no victims, only empowered creators. I love it said that way. Wish Nancy and Chuck would get that message also. Nancy and Chuck. I'm not sure who those people are, but okay. Linda, good morning to you. And Terry, floating holidays. I love them during this time of year. Me too. Anyway, Colleen, good morning. Last night was great. Thanks again. I was feeling a little out of sorts last night, so I hope everybody understood what I was trying to talk about, but I was already getting sick yesterday. I did not feel all that well. Today I'm feeling okay, but I sound worse than I feel today. Yesterday, I didn't sound bad, but I felt like crap. So there you have it, right? Anyway, so Mars and Chiron together creating an opening for us to let go of those victim patterns, those blame energies, and begin to take some steps forward. Does that mean it's all going to be happy balloons and clowns from here on? Well, I would say clowns maybe, because there are still people out there that haven't gotten the message. Somehow they're not on my email list, or they don't join us in the morning show, and they still insist on being victims, or they insist on blaming everybody else for the conditions that we find ourselves in, or that they find themselves in. So eventually, though, over the course of time, I believe everybody is going to get on board with this message. Because for one thing, by the time we get to March, Chiron will no longer be in the sign of Pisces. It will be back into Aries, where it will stay. And Aries is a sign of learning self-sufficiency and being more responsible for oneself and for one's condition and being more independent, but also understanding that we are also part of a collective. And so independence and dependence, there's a fine line in between, and it's called interdependence, and that we are all in this boat called Mother Earth together, and that what one does affects all. And so hopefully we begin to really seed that message, as Chiron will then be in the sign of Aries for another 6 or 7 years. So we have a lot to learn. We have a lot going on, and a lot to look forward to. But it's like anything else. These are growing pains, and we're growing through all of this. Some of us are ahead of the curve. You know, when you were in high school, or, you know, elementary school, even, like, some people in the school were, you know, still being the class clowns or being the idiots and doing stupid things, while others were already taking more responsibility, planning for their college education, etc. Well, the world is like that. So we have people that are ahead of the game, who are laying the template for where it is that we're going and what it is we're going to be doing. And we have those who are in the middle. They're just getting ready to make that shift. And we have the people at the other end of the spectrum that are holding the energy of resistance for us. And we need that energy of resistance. We've talked about this before, but let me reiterate this, because it is those people that are holding that state of resistance that create the spark, or that power the engine of change and transformation. So remember, I was talking about an ice cube, right? An ice cube. And in order for that ice cube to change state, to become water, it needs the energy of heat. Heat creates the resistance between the molecules to create melting. And when that then melts, it undergoes a change of state. Now, if we want to take water and we want to make it undergo a change of state to water vapor or a gas, we need to inject more resistance, more heat, and it undergoes another change of state, which, by the way, looks a lot like ascension, right? Ascension, moving up, changing state from solid to liquid to gas. And it all begins because there's resistance. There are those percentage of the population in this case that are holding the tension of the old, and the people in the middle who are about ready to make that shift, and those people at the other end who have already made that shift or are, you know, pulling the rest along. So we need the resistance, but we don't have to get fooled by them or get caught up in their game, right? We need that 10%. In fact, in a presentation I did a few years back, somewhere along the line, we determined it was about 10% of the population that really holds the state of resistance. And it is about another 20 to 30% that are holding the balance in the shift. And then really, truly, there's more like 40 or 50% of the people that are, you know, really already looking at what's ahead and moving in that direction. The reason I bring all this up is it's really about hope. It is really about the fact that things are moving along just as they're supposed to, even when it looks crazy out there, and even when people are doing dumb things, even when it appears like no one's ever going to learn the lesson and, you know, keep creating the same energies over and over again. It is moving us in the right direction. I seem to forget that myself at times. Let's see, what is everybody else saying right now? Patricia, good morning to you. Alex, good morning to you. Mimi says Aries and Chiron feels like self-healing and learning how to self-heal, indeed, and perhaps teaching others to self-heal. It's interesting because there are a lot of people out there who are just now entering into or getting ready to enter into their Chiron returns, right? So those of you who were born in the 70s, from about 1970 all the way through 1978-ish, 77, 78, you were all born with your natal Chiron in Aries. So you guys are going to be going through the biggest healing. Well, those of us who were born in the 60s and into the very late 1960s and maybe even early 1970, we're the ones completing the victim blaming game. So it's interesting, as we transition over, there are new people coming in that were kind of seeded with that energy of self-healing, that it will become very apparent that there are new modes of healing on the planet, new ways of taking care of oneself. In other words, I believe that what we start to see is less reliance on pills and on doctors and on therapies other than the alternative ones, the ones that return the choice and the power to our own selves to heal our own bodies, including our own DNA, which I find extremely exciting. So I believe that's the direction we're definitely going in. So fun, fun, fun. Let's see. Anything else here? Okay. So the other thing occurring today and taking us into the weekend is Venus in a sextile, which is a 60 degree angle, which is an angle of good sharing of energy with the planet Pluto. There are very deep emotional energies that are moving through here, and not deep in a bad way where, you know, we're somehow projecting all our stuff onto other people, but where we can really see into the depths and we can really see the truth of some things where before we couldn't. So today's a really good day for us to be engaged with one another, you know, to work within, you know, your community, within your family, to, you know, strengthen your relationships, to find the common values that we have, whether So, I mean, I know today's probably not a day where everybody's working a whole lot, but we might really be able to see some of the more commonalities that we have and to work on strengthening those kinds of values rather than the more crazy things that are happening in terms of what we think our values are in the world. So a great day. It speaks mostly to your personal relationships and how you empower yourself, but not only that, how you empower others to be themselves, right? It's really about empowering one another. Remember, was it last week? Yes, it was last week where the earth was at the gate 10. And we talked about the ability for that particular gate to take us into some verbal slicing and dicing or into some of the most sweet, empowering words available on the planet. Well, here we have now not empowering the words, but empowering the emotional connections with one another. And that takes us into much deeper territory. Let's see, over the weekend, Over the weekend, there are no other outer planet type things happening. It is all the moon. So that means these feelings, these things that I'm going to talk about next are more fleeting. They may be in action for a couple of hours and then they shift and they move on and something else replacing it. And so we come into the point on Saturday where the moon is squaring the sun. We are now reaching the point of the crisis of consciousness, where we are having to go internal. Remember, it all began with the new moon back in early December. And that new moon, whatever the intentions were that we set at the time, we hit the first crisis point the week later. Then we hit the full moon last weekend. Or what was it like? Yeah, I guess it was, gosh, time flies. And then now we're hitting the last square. And that is the crisis of consciousness, where now we have to shift on the internal to be able to accommodate all of the things that we wanted to enact in our lives. So it's not about that the outer world is stopping you. It isn't about the obstacles or the resistance that you met with in the outer world. Now it's, what is the resistance in your inner dynamic? What's in here that's stopping you from moving forward or from taking the next steps or from being who you want to be or intending and manifesting from your desires? The moon tomorrow will also be in a square to Saturn. And you know what that means. Anytime the moon and Saturn play together, we get that dip in our feelings, right? It might be a melancholy feeling, a more quiet or reserved feeling that we go through. It is a time to simplify, find the good in everything. And if you can't, then just be quiet. Get a good book out. Get your cards out and start playing with your cards, which, by the way, I drew cards. And allow yourself to feel that energy, but not to go into a deep state of depression or sadness or melancholy. It is transitory. It is moving on and moving out. And we will also at that same time have a sextile to Jupiter. That's a more happy placement. It is a restoration of optimism, even though you may also be feeling that tension of the slight, you know, dip in your energy. This was one of the things that we talked about last night in the webinar as well, is that often in your reports that you receive, or even in your readings that you get, you may find that there are conflicting energies. One may say, you know, this is a happy day, go for it, do everything you can to, you know, make yourself happy. And then later it'll say, you know, two down, it says, oh, bad day, don't do anything, hide, you know, go into the closet kind of thing. It never says it that way, but you get my drift, right? That there seems to be these conflicting things that are going on. And the best rule of thumb is to remember that the planet involved, if it's the moon, it's transitory. This too shall pass. If it's a planet that is going to be longer lasting, then it is about that tension, that conundrum that we have. How do we find the solution to the problem that we're experiencing? It's not about that there are these two things that put you in a quandary. It is about creating that resistance that allows us to take the next step, right? To evolve, to grow, etc. And you're going to find that often. I find it almost every day as I'm looking at what's going on. Here's a big one. Saturn in a square, or moon squaring Saturn, but also sextiling Jupiter. Right there, there's one that takes you down into that sad state, depressed state, if you will, and the other one that's swinging up to optimism. So, right, seemingly two opposite directions, but hopefully we land somewhere in the middle and we understand the nature of it. It's the moon, and the moon is making these connections and then moving on. And in fact, then on Sunday, the moon in Libra is going to be squaring Pluto, where today the moon was in an opposition to Pluto. Right? So you see how these things move. If it's the moon, it's moving fairly quickly through a chart. And that means there's probable or possible emotional eruptions on Sunday, and also possible deep undercurrents between you and another person happening that day that maybe remains unspoken. Maybe you can have a deep conversation with someone that you've needed to, or that you've wanted to. It is not necessarily a bad time, it is one that is depth of emotion that soon passes and gives way to a sextile to Mercury, where we begin to be more chatty. Later in the day, opposing Uranus, which means we always have the opportunity for some surprises or some unexpected things to come up, whether that's a phone call, a weather alarm that goes off in the middle of the night and wakes up your butt and tells you that the 9/11 system is down in the whole state of Washington. I don't know how that happens, but that happened last night. I had just fallen asleep and it woke me up. It happened just before we went to bed too. And then my husband said it happened another time. I didn't wake up for that one though. So strange things happen when we have the planets opposing Mercury, or excuse me, Uranus. Void, of course, moon on Sunday. Of course, on the weekend, it's not a big deal. From 2:54 p.m. until 5:24 p.m., so approximately 2.5 hours, void before the moon moves out of Libra and into Scorpio. So we begin, of course, then the New Year's Eve holiday on Monday with the moon in Scorpio. And we'll talk more about that on Monday. So not a crazy weekend, just one of change, a lot of dynamics going on, but nothing major, nothing that we haven't dealt with already. Be prepared for Monday's energy. And I'm telling you this now because you're going to feel it even Sunday night, maybe even Saturday, where you want to get going. You're going to feel that patience, that impatience wearing away at you, chipping away, and you're going to want to take steps and do things. Not quite the right time. You're going to hold off. You're going to hold off until next week, early in the week. And then you're going to have it, right? You're going to have that energy with you to be able to take steps forward. And that's not necessarily everyone, but most of you are going to feel that energy surge and want to move forward. For some people, I think it may create irritability. But for others of you, it's going to be feeling like a breath of fresh air, just, you know, like someone opened up the doors and let all this great new air and energy come in. The best way to use this energy as we move into the next week is going to be creative, to use your creative energy. So that's just a little aside for what's coming up. Vanita said it was nationwide. Wow. My text message just said the state of Washington, the whole state of Washington was out. So what is that? I mean, let's put that in our journals, right? For our 12 days of Christmas, that there's the nationwide 911 system, the SOS, I need help system went down. That would be, let's see, that would have happened on the bridge between the second day and the third day of Christmas. So February, March, are we looking at some kind of 911 happening in March? Don't know. But I'm not going to go down and get frayed and scared and worried about it. I'm just going to be prepared for it. Get some extra water, get some, you know, the usuals. So I wasn't really on air yesterday to be able to pull a card for you. Hopefully you did that for yourselves, or in some way you kept track of what the second day of Christmas was bringing, which would have equated to February. Today we're dealing with March, the third day of Christmas. And what I pulled was Flamingo Upside Down, card number 26. And it says at the bottom, embrace the in-between. I think that makes such good sense, right? The in-between, when we've just been talking about Mars getting ready to move out of water, and we're in that in-between time. So what does it mean? Well, I just closed the page apparently. Here we go. So Flamingo Spirit is embracing the in-between, and in protection, it is, if you're feeling nervous and wobbly, stop worrying about the past and the future. Instead, be present in the moment, balancing, for now is the space in which creativity arises. Creativity is your birthright, but if you're moving too quickly in an attempt to avoid the discomfort of transition, you can blind yourself to the miraculous possibilities that are before you now and those just coming into being. The past has its lessons and planning has its merits, but right now you may be imbalanced because you're becoming too nostalgic for what once was or too anxious about what the future holds. There is time to plan carefully. For now, be still and know that Spirit is here, co-creating with you in the moment. The next step will appear when it needs to appear. Relax into a state of equanimity and balance, so any anxiety can transmute into trust and faith that all will be as it will for the highest good. That's perfect, right? Perfect for us sitting here in the balance. So this card, Flamingo Reversed, would be for the month of March. And I see our darling Suzanne has put up what the angel number 8 means, because 26, we add up the digits 2 plus 6, which equals an 8. So you can read through that. She's got that posted here on the page. Also, the number 8 is interesting because it is, let's see, there was a girl that I knew that was a numerologist. She called herself the celebrity numerologist, Michelle Arbeau. And she used to talk about the number 8 being the God number, and the God and man number, because it represents infinity and going on and on. So it's an interesting number altogether that we have coming up. Shauna says, is the 25th or the 26th the first day of Christmas? The 26th. So we go from December 26th to January 6th. And isn't it interesting that, you know, in at least from my days of being a Lutheran, the 6th was Epiphany. It was the day of Epiphany. So the very last day of Christmas is the day of Epiphany. I find that interesting. And it's the last day that we, you know, are in the 12 days of Christmas. So thank you, Suzanne, for posting that. Mimi says she will happily go with creative play. That's the way to get through this. So because it's a weekend, and because that means we're going to have 2 other days, I'm actually going to draw 2 more cards. I didn't think about doing this before we met this morning, but I'm going to draw a card for Saturday, which will represent the 4th day of Christmas, or the month of April. And then I'll draw one for Sunday. I'll be on Monday morning. So that will be the 5th day. Oh dear, we have Wombat Spirit for the 4th day of Christmas. Wombat Spirit says, be at home. Card number 68, which is a 14, which is a 5. So there we have it, Wombat Spirit. I think we've gotten that card before too. Interesting, right? So I'm going to draw one more card. That'll be for Sunday, the 5th day of Christmas. I'm losing count. And today's the 3rd, tomorrow will be the 4th, Sunday will be the 5th. So the 5th day of Christmas, and then we will read them and see what we have. So I'm sorry, this deck is new still. And the reason I'm pulling it from the animal cards is, if you read the article I posted on the Living Astrology Facebook page the other day, you saw that it was about omens that we see in nature. Now, I don't know that many of us live near where there's wombats or flamingos. I don't, but I know there are some of you who do. In fact, I don't even know where a wombat would live. But, you know, we might see these creatures, or at least connect with their energy in our outer world. So I'm going to stop talking for a second, because I seem to have a problem getting the day 5 card to come out here. And there you are. You are Lizard Spirit. Dream the world into being. And he is card 38, number 11. So that will be for the month of May. All right, so let's read about Wombat and Wombat number 68. I think that's the last card of the, it is, it's the last card of this deck. So Wombat Spirit said, be at home. So this is for us for April. Okay, so if you're doing the 12 days of Christmas, this was for us to take a look at April. Shauna said, Australia? I don't know, but I bet you might be right. Somebody do a Google search for me, find out where wombats live. It kind of looks like a bear, but a weasel maybe? I don't know. Wombat. I love the name. So the oracle message of the wombat is, burrowing deep into the ground, remaining safe, sound, and well-fed with family is a special trait of the wombat. Home, sweet home, is always available if you recognize that well-being is the truth of life. Wombat Spirit reminds you that to be truly at home in the world, you need to find comfort within your own skin. You do this by accepting all your experience without judgment, through a deep honesty and love of life. When you feel the freedom to be yourself, you can begin to feel truly at home in your life with your family and tribe. Right now, you're in a beautiful place where you can hang up the coat of your identity and settle into a true sense of home and well-being, understanding that all is well. Everything you do from this place rings true in harmony with spirit. Wombat, be at home. And it's angel number 5, as Suzanne is now putting up the 5. Did anybody look up wombat for me and see where it is living? I tend to agree with Shauna. I think it's somewhere exotic like that. It's funny how I think of Australia as exotic. All right. So then let's take a look at May, the 5th month of the year, which would be lizard spirit. Dream the world into being. Card 38, which is an 11, illumination and light. So here, let me show you the card, the lizard. Beautiful, really? Right? I love the colors. So we have the message. When was the last time you basked in the sun and allowed yourself to daydream, to imagine what might be and who you might become? Lizard spirit appears when you are called to let your imagination flow and dream something new. Inspiration is available to you now if you are willing to slow down and let your eyes close a little, allowing ideas to dance in your head. What might come into being if you were to pursue your dream? How might you grow and expand if you allowed yourself to dare to believe in the impossible, making it possible first in your dreaming mind and then in the world as you co-create with spirit? Give in to the power of imagination and soon your dreams will become clearer. The steps will reveal themselves and what was ephemeral will begin to coalesce into form. Dream it and be it. Spirit asks you to dare to dream big. I love that. That's a great card. So we have wombat and we have flamingo for March, wombat for April, and lizard for May. And remember, flamingo was upside down. Here we go. Wombats are short-legged, muscular, quadrupedal marsupials that are native to Australia. Good one, Shauna. Thank you, Vicky. And then Shauna says they are adaptable and habitat tolerant and are found in forested, mountainous, and heathland areas of southeastern Australia, including Tasmania, as well as an isolated patch of about 300 acres in Epping Forest National Park in central Queensland. So definitely our Australian buddies, wombats. Okay, now I also drew a card from the other deck for us for the weekend. And by the other deck, I mean the Wisdom of the Oracle, right? And that by Colette Baron Reed as well. And this card, I'm not sure we've had this card. We may have. It looks familiar, but then again, I might have gotten it. And the card for us for the weekend was card number 43, Deep Knowing. You see the moon with the owl sitting on top of it. Maybe that's the earth with the moon sitting on. No, that's the moon. And the earth. Hell, I don't know what that is. Looks like the moon with the owl sitting on top of the moon and maybe Mercury sitting on top of the owl. So let's read about this card number 43, which would be a 7. So deep knowing says intuition, listening to the oracle within, empathy and hypersensitivity. Intuition is the faculty that allows you to enter into a dialogue with source, the consciousness that you are a part of but cannot see with the naked eye. It's perplexing that people are taught to ignore this natural capacity to navigate their journeys to access their inner guidance. Know that you have an ability to read between the lines and find all the truth that was missing when the story was told. This deep knowing allows you to open the door to wisdom far greater than what is available in the limitations of human experience. You are given information that may make no sense whatsoever to the logical mind or to the 5 senses, but which is 100% correct and true. The trick is to listen and then to act accordingly. You're now invited into the sacred dialogue of deep knowing. So tune in and trust your vibes. They will be right. Ask and you will receive answers from unusual sources. Like that. I like that. So there we have it. And our friend Suzanne has put up angel number 7, which was what this card added up to. Lynn says, love this practice, Janet, for looking at 12 days after Christmas corresponding to 12 months ahead. I'm using the wild unknown animal spirit oracle for her daily read. I love that. That sounds really fun. It might be fun to use other decks too. You can intersperse them. I'm just using the animal deck for us here, but for your own practice, when you're drawing your own card, you can use the same deck each day or maybe a different deck. It's up to you. You just follow your intuition into what it says. When I first learned about this, this was years ago, this practice of following the 12 days of Christmas, I learned it a little differently at first, and I actually found it to be a little more confusing to that the first day of Christmas equated to the first day of the astrological year, which would have actually been when the sun moves into Aries at the end of March, or at the spring equinox, or the fall equinox if you're down under. And that gets to be a little more complicated. I like this method, right, equating it to the month of the year. But know that, you know, there are other uses. You could look at it through the astrological lens, or even through the pagan wheel of the year, the witch's wheel of the year. So there's lots of different ways that we could use this information, and it's personal to you, right? I mean, I'm doing it in a way that is, you know, for many people, but you could do your own internal one as well. And I suggest that you do, otherwise it won't have as much meaning to you personally, right? Suzanne says, well, this week I own about 10 decks. Suzanne's using the Toth deck, which is, I think, a tarot deck. You can use an oracle deck. You can use a tarot deck. It doesn't really matter. If it calls to you, that's the one you should use. And I have a basket here with probably, I don't know, 20 or so decks in it. I would go crazy if I tried to use all those decks. Right now, I'm really liking the two Colette Baron Reed decks here. And so that's my choice, but you can choose to use whatever it is that you want, whatever has most meaning for you. All right. Well, I think I'm done here unless people have questions. I don't see any. I'm going to go scrolling back for a second to see if I missed anybody's questions. Alex says, LOL, I wonder what Australians find exotic. Canada? Maybe so. The Arctic? Alex says, wow, lizard is on spot for me. Also helps. My birthday is May 11th. Wow, an 11 for the 11. That's awesome. Thank you, Shauna and Vicky, both for looking up wombat for us and telling us what it means. Thank you, Suzanne, for telling us all the numbers. And that's about it for me. I will see you all on Monday morning. We'll take a look at the week ahead, at the month ahead, at the year ahead, maybe. I don't know. We've already looked at the year ahead. Let's bring it in and look at the week ahead and the month ahead for January. Colleen says she's using Spirit Kitties. Is that a card deck? I'm sorry. I'm laughing at this, but I think it's funny because you can watch your own animals and also get a sense for what's happening. So if your kitties are spirit kitties, watch your own kitties. Their behaviors will tell you a lot about what's happening too. It's an oracle deck. Oh my God. I'm going to look that up after we're done here, Colleen, because now I got to know. Mimi, you are a cat lover as well. So maybe you need to look into the spirit kitties deck too. I love it. I love it. All right, guys, take care. I'm going to go rest my voice. Take care. Have a great day. Mwah. Much love to you. See you all Monday morning for the last day of 2018. See you then. Bye.